This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
William Randolph Hearst's old ranch headquarters was constructed back in 1930, located a mere 11 miles as the crow flies from Hearst Castle. Hearst and architect Julia Morgan's classic Moorish Mission Revival structure, dubbed variously the Hacienda or the Milpitas Ranch House, was sold to the U.S. Army in 1940. The Hacienda initially served as operation headquarters for Fort Hunter Liggett until the base facilities were constructed in the dawning days of World War II. Today, the Hacienda remains as a treasured historic icon on the Army base, tucked in a remote valley in the Santa Lucia Mountains in southern Monterey County, adjacent to Mission San Antonio. Come along and join Lisa Coppola, historian and cultural resources program manager at Army Garrison Fort Hunter Liggett, for a tour of the Hacienda and tales from the past when Hearst and his friends such as Clark Gable, Gene Harlow, Marion Davies, Will Rogers, and Errol Flynn would come to party at the Hacienda, and how you can book an overnight stay today in one of the historic rooms where the ranch hands stayed back in the day, or maybe a romantic getaway in Marion Davies' upstairs suite. We're here at Fort Hunter Liggett in Monterey County. Right now, we're at probably one of the best-kept secret destinations in California that's on the Army base, and it's called the Hacienda. The Hacienda was built in the early 30s by William Randolph Hearst as his ranch headquarters. And we're here with Lisa.
Hi there. Welcome. Hi. Happy to have you here today.
It's great.
I'm glad you could appreciate this jewel that we have here at Hunter Liggett. So I'm Lisa Coppola. I'm the Cultural Resources Program Manager for Fort Hunter Liggett. Basically, I assist with the historic preservation responsibilities for the Army. As you can see, we've got 164,000 acres of land out here, and that includes historic properties such as this one. So that's my job here.
And I find it interesting that Hearst built this before World War II as his ranch headquarters. Before World War II even started, this was taken over by the Army. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in the 1930s, you had Fort Ord up in Monterey County. Mm-hmm. So prior to World War II, you know, the War Department had been doing training out here, and there was a ramp up, particularly in the late 30s, with the impending expectation that war was going to start. So the Army had been training between Fort Ord, and actually Hearst had already owned this property. He had bought it in the 1920s, from here all the way to San Simeon. Wow. Over those mountain ranges. And the Army in the 1930s had been doing cavalry movements from Fort Ord down through this ranch property all the way down to San Simeon. Mm-hmm. So the Army was aware of this property and had been using it while Hearst owned it. So when 1940 came around, the War Department, you know, immediately began purchasing up between Fort Hunter Liggett. It was the Hunter Liggett Military Reservation and Camp Roberts, which is south of here. And that was actually the headquarters. And this was the training ground for the big ramp up. So 1940 is when the Army purchased this from Hearst.
So when Fort Hunter Liggett first opened in 1940, this was it. This was base headquarters.
This was
right?
The headquarters, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all that was here.
That's all that was here, exactly. And there wasn't even electricity. Hearst had a phone line here. He had an airstrip out there, and he had there was plumbing. But other than that, they were using gas heater, candles, and the big fireplaces that was built by Julia Morgan. The Army put in the electricity, but basically they used the airstrip. Some of the old buildings, they did a little rearranging out here and used, you know, part of the bigger ranch complex, including the barn across the street, which is now our fire department.
And that originally was the Hearst barn.
Yeah. Well, actually, that barn predates this building. It was originally with the San Francisco World's Fair.
Wow.
In 1915. And the James Brown Cattle Company that was here before Hearst purchased that from the Dairy Barn exhibit in San Francisco, moved that entire barn down here for his cattle. So it was rebuilt here in 1919.
Wow.
And used, and then when Hearst bought the property, he bought
that
barn.
It, yeah.
That building's actually, it's been significantly remodeled, but it's actually older than this building.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so when William Randolph Hearst built this as his ranch headquarters,
yes.
I've been coming here for 30 years and heard a million stories and different stories. One is that these rooms right here, I was told, were where the cowboys would stay.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yes,
that true?
That's true. Those were cowboy rooms, yeah. This was a working cattle ranch for Hearst. When Hearst bought the property, this was called the Milpitas Ranch. There were four Mexican land grants out here, and this was the Milpitas land grant, you know, post-secularization after the mission system went away. Original Milpitas Ranch House is right below us, right here where we're standing. And Hearst owned that. He bought it, and that was his cattle ranching. That he bought the cattle ranching operation that was here, essentially, and then maintained those cattle ranching operations. 1929, that building burnt down. As you know, we're in wildfire country. He had already been working with Julia Morgan in San Simeon. And they were looking for places to build a new ranch headquarters. And they looked around, and at the end of the day, they decided this was, you know, a beautiful spot and to rebuild on top of the original Milpitas Ranch House, which is why this building on the National Register is actually called the Milpitas Ranch House. Although Hearst and Julia Morgan referred to it as the Halone Ranch House, or they would call it Milpitas. So to give you a big picture idea of his cattle ranching operations and the importance of this location, just wanted to show you, it's about 20 miles as the crow flies to San Simeon. So he owned a lot of property, and he had built the road all the way from San Simeon up to here. And you can see through these peaks, oh, the clouds are coming in. Right through those peaks is where the Hearst Castle is.
Wow.
Oh, there it is right there. See those peaks way in the distance on the other side?
Yes, I do, yeah.
So the road to the Hearst Castle goes all the way down over there. Now, if you go to the Hearst Castle and stand up there and look this way, you can see Junipero Serra Peak from the Hearst Castle. That gives you kind of an idea of the vast expanse of land that he had. Mm-hmm. And you can also, from over there, you can see the Mission San Antonio, which became important when he and Julia Morgan were trying to decide the design for the new construction of this new ranch house. They were very conscious of making it architecturally compatible with the Mission San Antonio, which was, you know, the third of the California missions. It was the first red tile roofs in the state of California were built there at the Mission San Antonio. So she wanted to maintain that style, that Mission Revival style. So they put in the red tile roofs, they put in quatrefoil windows and Mission style parapets, keeping within that style purely because of this proximity to the mission. Another interesting thing about, because of this landscape that's wildfire and earthquake prone, and Hearst and Julia Morgan were very conscious of constructing sustainable buildings that fit within their environment. So the concrete, poured concrete building and the red tile roofs, I mean, this is a solid building. It's lasted through earthquakes. It's lasted through wildfires. It's fabulous.
It's amazing when you look around, you see these major timber beams, and then you realize they're poured in place concrete.
And they used redwood molds to pour the concrete, so it gave it that texture.
Tell us about the dome up there. So I mean, that's phenomenal.
One of the genius parts of Julia Morgan was, you know, her ability to fuse architectural styles. In this case,
it's almost Moorish, isn't it?
It is. It's a Moorish dome. She fused Mission Revival, Spanish Colonial Revival, and then in here she threw in some Moorish elements into it. And there's a little bit of tile work throughout, too, in the gold dome. But a lot of Spanish Colonial style was kind of a broad style, and it became very popular, particularly in Southern California, in 1900s, 1920s, is you know, part of trying to entice people to move to California. You have the palm trees, and it looks like a Mediterranean oasis. So the Mission Revival has certain other elements, like the parapets, to it. And then she created this jewel, adding the Moorish domes.
I've been told numerous times that this also was his party headquarters.
Yeah, so we were very fortunate to have memoirs written by the ranch manager, Mr. Harry Taylor, and his wife, Ava Taylor. She wrote some memoirs the times that they were here. And their son published some stuff in the local King City Rustler about what they talked about is, it was a working cowboy ranch during the day, but on the weekends, he would bring his guests that were at San Simeon. They would come up for, they called it a fiesta. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen that often, but you know, often enough that they would either ride up by horseback from San Simeon and then drive back by car. There's a taxi company in San Luis Obispo that they would call to pick them up and drive them back. Wow. Or a hearse would fly. And sometimes he loved riding his horses, and he would stop halfway between here and San Simeon at the San Miguelito Ranch House and overnight there. Mm-hmm. We don't think Hearst ever overnighted here, but some of his guests may have overnighted in the tower rooms that were here. And the parties are described as being, might have mariachi bands or Spanish-style guitar. I mean, they were very California, and even today where you have the California, the typical Central Coast tri-tip barbecue, that's what they were serving in the 30s. They talk about beans and salsa and barbecued meat. And the balcony in the dining room is where the mariachi band would be.
Oh, how cool.
And he would bring in chefs from San Francisco, because a lot of this building is painted. It's got light green and dark green trim. And some people have said that that was Army colors, that the Army green that we painted it. But it's not. It was Julia Morgan's original design. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the Hearst Castle, to the utilitarian areas down by the kitchen and the storage rooms, it's that same exact shelving, you know, doors, lime green with the dark green trim. It's you see, it's wonderful, yeah.
Interesting.
Besides architectural elements that Julia Morgan had designed for this building, they bought some tiles from Mexico that were manufactured in the 1930s that are outside, and we could take a look at those.
Yeah.
Just one tile piece.
Let's go do that.
Yeah. This tile work, Julia Morgan and William Randolph Hearst picked out themselves. It's called the Uriarte tile. It's from Mexico, and it's a well-known style of art and tile work from that particular region in Mexico that she really enjoyed. And, you know, it's fascinating. This is the only artistic decorative thing that she put in here.
Interesting.
Other than, you know, she designed the shutters in the tower rooms up here.
Mm-hmm. Can we go take a look at that?
I think we can. We have the blueprints are at the Cal Poly Library, the Julia Morgan Archives.
So this green here is the original color motif?
Yes, actually this is, yeah, it's been painted over multiple times.
Sure.
But these doors she actually designed, which is odd and unusual.
And again, there's that Moorish influence with the screening up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Part,
yeah, and even some of the exterior elements, she's got concrete screens, if you'll notice, around like the fireplace vents.
Can we take a look in one of the rooms?
Hello? Come on in, this is a good example. So, and this actually may have been one of the rooms that Marion Davies or the guests would have stayed in. Mm-hmm. They're talking about who would have been here. They've talked about, you know, Clark Gable, perhaps, you know, Marion Davies, William Powell, Lou Pinella. There's a number of people. This would have been the place where Marion Davies would have stayed. This quatrefoil element window, very uniquely, you know, very typical of Julia Morgan doing the Mission Revival style.
One more thing before we leave the suite. The other best-kept secret of Fort Hunter Liggett and the Hacienda is that civilians can stay here.
Absolutely, yeah.
That has got to be the best untold
story. It's great. Yeah, civilians can stay here. There's the Hacienda, the telephone number is on the public website if you want to reserve a room. And there's a range of rooms and prices, and they're all, like, very affordable.
They really are. I think the rancher room started at like $80 a night.
Yeah, if you're in the cowboy room.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then this has got the private bathroom, which you can see in here. Yeah, they're very comfortable. I've stayed here, you know, and it's, It's great because it's quiet. It's very peaceful out here. Well, of course, unless the Army's in the middle of a training exercise, you might hear some noise. But otherwise you'll hear coyotes howling. And
what a great base camp for walking over to the mission, too.
Yeah, if you want to go to the mission. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also, public hunting and fishing on the weekends that people do here. So during the hunt season, hunters might stay here. So this is a great option. It's also a jumping point to go to the forest or to Big Sur. So people who are traveling along Nacimiento-Ferguson Road to get to the coast and Highway 1.
And again, the best-kept secret little coastal road starts right here at the edge of the bays.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
So a fun way to get to Big Sur.
Yeah, and you can rent out that downstairs room, you know, for receptions. There's a Steinbeck, a book society group that has, you know, will meet here because Steinbeck wrote about, you know, the entire Salinas Valley, and he had a book called To a God Unknown, where he talked about the historic town of Jolon, which is right here. So to just sit here and just look at that landscape and talk about that.
And it's a reference point where we are in California. Probably King City is the best landmark town, which is, what, 26 miles from here?
Yeah.
But a world away.
Yeah, it really is. In the town of Jolon here, it was the stagecoach road and the El Camino Real, the royal highway to the mission. So
this was on the main line of the King's Highway.
It was. This is the El Camino Real, absolutely. And then when the railroad went in King City, then things started moving over that way. Mm-hmm. And so it's remained kind of quiet, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we get people who are assigned to Fort Hunter Liggett or are going to come here for a conference and, you know, from across the country, and they see, oh, Monterey, California. They think they're going to be at Pebble Beach.
Right.
And, you know, 2 hours later by car in the middle of nowhere, they end up here, and it's a little bit of a shock.
And again, just speaking Monterey County, this has to be probably the most best-kept secret destination in Monterey County.
It is. Southern Monterey County. It's amazing, though.
Well, let's explore a little more.
Yeah, let's. We can go into the bar. So one of the things about historic preservation and historic buildings is that they do have a life, they do evolve. So Hearst built it and lived here, occupied it for 10 years. The Army has been here now 75 years plus. So some of the modifications that the Army made are considered, you know, significant. You know, they're
historic.
Defining characteristic, defining feature of the history of this building. It tells a story. This mural was painted in the 1950s by a soldier. His name was Bill Runyon, and after World War II, he stayed on as a civilian. He has paintings up at the Presidio of San Francisco. If you ever get up there. Now, the bar's been remodeled. We, you know, closed it off to put that kitchen back there.
Uh-huh.
But this room in 1940 was the post headquarters, and we have this great photo of this was, you know, the communications, all the phones and
desks
the maps.
And
this is where the action was happening.
I love it. Touching and interesting that the Army does have that heart and compassion and concern for history. That's really cool.
I love it too, and it's amazing to me, and it's just gratifying, and I've worked with a lot of amazing people. Thank you for visiting this jewel of a place that we love, and we know that, you know, not many people are aware of it, but we've got this Julia Morgan building as part of the William Randolph Hearst complex associated with San Simeon and the castle that's here available for the public. Anyone can come visit.
So it really is a best-kept secret of California.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, I know.
No, please share. We'd love to have people visit.
That's so cool. And once again, it's just amazing to be here, even across the road at Mission San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Of all the missions in California, that's the one where you feel what it must have been like in 1771 when they built it.
That's one of the defining characteristics of that. Of this mission is that it's still in its relatively pristine setting as it was in 1771. With the exception of this building, and the buildings here, it's not like the missions in downtown urban areas that have been completely developed around. So that's a very unique feature of this mission and this landscape. And we've been fortunate to be able to maintain that. You know, we're not developing out in front of it. Yeah.
And then going forward to the rancher days, it's amazing too, once again, amazes me every time that William Randolph Hearst, former ranch headquarters, is intact, very much as it was in the 1930s, thanks to the United States Army.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. But I think it's been just a pleasure to work here, and we value it for sure. And I think it's also just a testament to what a great building it is. It doesn't need much modification.
Do you know how spoiled you are having such a cool job?
No, I do. I every day, I'm so thankful to be here and fortunate to be part of this team that cares. It's great.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Glad you made it. Su resplendor ostenta, su resplendor ostenta. Sobre lebens escucha, dulcissimas cadencias, mi voces que sonoras, dicen de esta manera, dicen de esta manera.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.